We're in the midst of a series called The Wisdom Pyramid. This is actually the third of seven sermons. I would strongly urge you, if you haven't heard the first two or one or the other of the first two, that you go online to the church's website and listen. They build on each other, clearly signified in the idea of a pyramid. The visual is that there are certain sources from which people are getting their truth, quote-unquote, their information, their wisdom, or lack of it. And for a Christian, there are some basics in which we have the ability to take advantage of, in which to give us wisdom. The first was last week. It was the Word of God. This week we're going to look at the second opportunity that Christians have to gather wisdom, and that's the church. We live in the information age. We have all the information you could ever need at your fingertips, literally. What we sorely lack is wisdom. We need wisdom to use this deluge of information. Last week, we saw that the wisdom of the Bible is what can keep us grounded. Scripture, God's Word, is the foundation of our wisdom pyramid. It is sufficient. However, God has given us other avenues of wisdom. They're not as comprehensive as the Bible, but can still be helpful if taken in the right doses, used in the right proportions. That's what we talked about, the Bible. But we'll be honest, we've all known people, I certainly have, who have taken the Bible and gone off the rails, gone off on a tangent, began to major on the minors, began to have strange ideas, began even to have heretical ideas. God has given us a second source to act as guardrails, to keep us focused, centered on what is really non-negotiable. It's the church. The church local, the church universal, the church present, the church past. The church, the people of God, is second only to the Bible, the Word of God, as a source of reliable and transformative wisdom. The church, the people of God, is second only to the Bible, the Word of God, as a source of reliable and transformative wisdom. I believe we see that brought out in our text in Hebrews chapter 10. We first draw our attention to the wisdom of confidence in the gospel. The wisdom of confidence in the gospel. Look at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, in other words, into the very presence of God, and what in the Old Testament was the holy place where God dwelt in the temple, we have confidence that we can enter into the true holy place, not through the blood of bulls and goats, but through the blood of Jesus. This is a new and living way, which he himself inaugurated for us through the veil, not the veil curtain, not the veil of cloth, his flesh. It was his flesh that was torn for us. It was his flesh that removed the barrier between us and God, his sacrifice. In fact, not only was he the sacrifice, he was the priest that offered the sacrifice, verse 21. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God. Now, I believe that that's a reference to the church universal. I believe that's the body of Christ. But certainly he's the great high priest over the house of God here. We want him to be. So we have this great high priest who's great because he didn't just offer the blood of an animal, he offered himself. And in offering himself, he paid the price that we cannot pay for our sin, that has opened the way into the very presence of God, the Holy of Holies, God himself. So we have this this confidence of the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Christ, the great high priest that allows us into the household of God. So what should we do? Verse 22. What we should do then is take advantage of it. Let us draw near. I think that's near to God. I think that's near to each other. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance. Now notice here, it's full assurance. In verse 19, it was confidence. In full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I think that's referring to the washing of regeneration. We're born again by the Spirit. We have been given we're a new creation. Old things are passed away. As the song said, we have resurrection power. So his point is let's take advantage of that. There's wisdom. There's wisdom in taking confidence in the gospel. Look down at verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. So let's take advantage of the wisdom that comes from faith, from the gospel, from believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. If the gospel is true, and obviously I believe it is, and the fact that you're here means you believe it is or seriously considering it. If the gospel is true, then we need to be constantly reminded. We need to be constantly reminded. It's not a one-off thing. If the gospel is true, if my conscience has been cleansed, if my body has been washed, if my heart has been made sincere, if my sins have been forgiven, what is more important than that? If that's true, then I need to arrange my life so that's a constant reminder to me. I'm not at the whim of the world. I'm not at the mercy of other factors. I can draw near to God through Christ. We don't need a church that preaches a me-centered message. Instead, we should insist that our churches proclaim the sufficiency of Christ. I talked this morning in Sunday school about being poor in spirit. I believe it was recorded. I think we'll be able to post it. We need to be poor in spirit. We need to be reminded that only Christ can get us into the presence of God. We need a church that believes that. We need a church that preaches that. We need a church that practices the gospel, because I need to be right at that as often as possible. As the information age yells in my ear and everybody else's truth, quote unquote, beats me down, I need to remember the confidence that I have in the gospel, the full assurance of faith. The reality is church is a source of truth precisely because it doesn't exist to serve our interests on our terms. People often go to the internet, they often go to Google to confirm what they already think. They find all these avenues of truth that they want to hear that conforms to what they think is their reality. And let it base their life, their identity, their thinking on that. But we need to come once in a while here. It's not all about you. Life is not all about you. We should be careful of any supposedly gospel-centered church that conforms to our own taste and our own sense of morality. Instead, the church should challenge any part of us that does not conform to God's word. We need that weekly reminder to look to the cross. Right? Again, look at verse 24. And let us consider how to do this. Let us consider how to do this. Well, what's one way to do it? Well, we're going to look at several, but look at verse 25. One way to do it is make sure you show up at the assembly. That's church. That's assembly together is church. Okay. In fact, as I prayed, I like how, you know, let us consider how to do this by doing this, by doing this, by doing this, by doing this. But let's not do this, which is what? Skip church. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together. And it's a habit, let's face it. It says so, verse 25, as is the habit of some, right? You get in the habit, you get out of the habit. You miss a week, it's easier to miss two. You miss two, it's easier to miss three. But we need that confidence that comes from hearing the gospel as much as possible. Every week, at least. Coming to church allows us to be more God-centered in a me-centered age. Coming to church allows us to think upward, not inward. To focus on redemption, not expression. So, church provides us with the wisdom to put confidence in the cross, in the gospel. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Secondly, we have the wisdom of confession of our hope. The wisdom of confession of our hope. Our hope, of course, is realized in Christ. It's not wishful thinking because it's based upon, verse 23, he who promised and his faithfulness. Okay, my hope isn't, cross my fingers. My hope is based on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is my belief that Christ is faithful, and I put my hope in that. I put my confidence in that. I confess that. It happens, so happens, as I mentioned, today's Reformation Sunday. Reformation Sunday reminds us that we need the lessons of church history. This confession, Christians have a belief that goes back through centuries and different cultures, different languages. It's not all about just Community Bible Church right here. We need to realize that Christianity is much bigger than us. We need the lessons that church history has taught us. Church tradition, biblical scholars, pastors and teachers help keep us from making heretical mistakes in our pursuit of God's truth. Now again, the Bible is central. The Bible is foundational. It's possible the church can leave the Bible. I understand that. But it's also possible sometimes in our own study of the Bible, we get to extremes that maybe are unhealthy or not based upon clear thinking. Church, past and present, keeps us reined in a little bit, provides some guardrails. One of the major reasons the church should be given a prominent place in our information diet is, it focuses on this common confession. What is Orthodox Christianity, little o, Orthodox Christianity? What is true Christianity? What has the church believed for centuries? What has the church taught for centuries? what have the biblical scholars over the years, how have they looked at this? What have they said? What does the pastor say about this? In our social media age, we are constantly trying to keep up with the latest information. Though this grants us more information, grants us access to more information than ever, it often makes it difficult to discern which type of information is reliable and time-tested. When we prioritize the church in our information diet, we tap into a stream of knowledge that has been tested for thousands of years. That should give us great confidence. But this confessing of our hope together, okay, makes us feel a part of something bigger than ourselves. We need to feel a part of something bigger than ourselves. Sadly, and I don't know how we're going to solve this. There's lots of reasons, but our consumer mentality has bled over into church, right? We look for a church based upon my needs, my preferences, what I want. And there's no shortage of churches, I understand. And there are many good churches in our area. There are many good churches that I would feel free to worship at. But that's not the point. This consumerist mentality, you know, makes us church shoppers, church hoppers. Because it's all about me. What do I want? It's all about me. Church, joining a church that maybe we don't totally agree with, reminds us that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. Rather than pursuing intimate relationships in the body of Christ, we seek churches that satisfy our own preferences. But coming to church helps us connect to God's mission that's bigger than ourselves. We need the testimony of God's faithfulness through time. Verse 23 again. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We need to hear the testimony of people who have found God to be faithful. Be it in Scripture, this great cloud of witnesses that we're introduced to in the next chapter, the testimonies of old who point us to living by faith. We need to hear those stories. We need to be around. The person next to you who's been undergoing a battle, we need to hear how God has worked in their life, like Kip was sharing. We need to hear that. We need to hear those testimonies of God's faithfulness. We're going to have our Thanksgiving testimony service next month. One of the beautiful things about being a part of a church is it grounds us in a bigger story than our own. Christianity is a story that precedes us and will outlive us. Where the past and the future matter as much or more than the present. Thirdly, we see the wisdom of community encouragement. The wisdom of community encouragement. You know, we look at this. We ask ourselves in verses 19 through 22, okay? If our salvation has been purchased, and it has, it's a done transaction, right? What did Jesus say as he died on the cross? It is what? Finished. Basically, that means paid in full. I shared this last Sunday, a few weeks, right before I went on vacation or went to the wedding. We got a thing from the bank about the mortgage. It has a big red stamp on the top, says paid in full. It's finished. We don't have to pay that anymore. Jesus has paid in full for our sins, right? It's paid in full. So if it's been purchased already, here's the question, if our salvation is purchased and guaranteed, verse 23 says it's guaranteed because he who promised it is faithful. It's resting upon God's faithfulness, not mine. Not my faithfulness, God's faithfulness. So if our salvation is purchased and guaranteed, why do we need to come to church? We need each other. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, there's some debate about what the day drawing near is. Well, I would think it'd be the second coming of Christ. But whatever you think it is, there's no doubt we're closer to it now than they were. Right? So we should actually be coming to church more, not less. Because we need each other. Let us consider how to do this. All right? And one way to do it is by assembling together. Verse 25, but encouraging one another. We need the wisdom that comes from community encouragement. People need real community in an individualistic age. We need more than just Jesus and me. Our culture is crushed under the weight of self-obsession. We're constantly turning and looking inside ourselves. We think ultimate reality is within ourselves. The truth can be found within ourselves. We need to know that it's more than just ourselves. Again, the church makes us feel a part of something bigger than ourselves. The church is a source of encouragement when we go through difficult seasons in life. Instead of running away from church in these confusing and chaotic times, people should be running to church. We're going to say more about this as we move through the pyramid and end up at the last week talking about social media. But we're physical beings, and we need physical connections. Okay, we're physical beings, and we need physical connections. You know, I mean, it's great to connect online with people that I haven't seen for years. Or I remember when, you know, Facebook, which is now just for old people like me. But I remember, you know, when I first got on Facebook and I saw some of my friends I hadn't seen in 30 years, I said, "What's their dad? Why'd he put a picture of his dad on there?" Then I realized, "Oh man, that's not his dad. That's him." Right? And then it dawns on me. Wait a minute. They're saying the same thing about me. Right? But that's not physical connection. Yeah, I like to see their grandkids. Mine are better. Mine are cuter. Mine are smarter. But I like to see their grandkids, you know. That's fine. Now we do it on a phone. In the old days, we used to carry pictures in our wallet, right? And the guy said to me one time years ago, "Have I showed you a picture of my grandkids?" I said, "No, and I appreciate it." But that's not real. That's not physical. We need physical connections. You know one place to get them? You know a good place to get them? Right here. Talk to people for real. In fact, the church's two ordinances involve physical interactions. Do you ever think about that? When we have a baptism, it's physical. You watch it, somebody gets wet. Right? You hear them express their faith in Christ. You see them go under the water. You see them come up. That's physical. We experience that when we have communion. As we've stressed many times, we have communion. It's because of the senses that are involved. We taste it. We smell it. We see it. We touch it. It's physical. You can't do that online. I read preacher blogs and all that, you know. And there's always a debate about, you know, can you do communion online? I guess you can do a lot of things, but is that the way it was designed? I don't think so, right? I don't think so. C.S. Lewis said this: the next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. The next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. Even though we believe that the source of wisdom is the Bible, we need the wisdom of the church to keep us on track. Let's pray. Now, Lord, I realize that for most of human history, and certainly to the original audience, and in many places to this day, you didn't have an option of where you went to church. You went where you could get to. Those of us who live in Pennsylvania Dutch area, we think of the Amish meeting houses. And one reason they don't allow cars and gas engines and automobiles is because they don't want you going to the other meeting house. They want you going to yours. Lord, so in our day and age, in our culture, there's so many choices of churches, and many of them good. Some of them not so much. And then, Lord, we've added the internet. We've added streaming. Now I can sit on my couch, eat my donut, and watch who I think is the best preacher in the world, whoever that might be. I know it's not me, but whoever that might be. So, Lord, that's just made it harder. That's just complicated it. I could pick and choose. I could watch a different church every week if I want, a different pastor every week. I can hear a different sermon. If I don't like the one I'm listening to, I can change to the next channel. So, Lord, we need the wisdom of the church. We need each other. We need to hear the Bible taught and preached, Lord. We need to interact with folks. Lord, we need to make sure that we don't get off on a tangent, Lord, that we don't start majoring on something that's minor and all of a sudden find ourselves in the weeds. We want to stay centered, focused on Christ and the cross. So help us to be a church that does that, I pray. Amen.